Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of my second week teaching on what I've entitled A Sure Foundation. It's just talking about how important the Word of God is, that the Word of God is like a seed. And in the same way that you can't get a harvest without planting a seed in the natural realm, you can't get a harvest in the spiritual realm without planting the seed of God's Word. The single most important thing that you can do for your Christian growth is to get the Word of God living on the inside of you. And so that's what we've been talking about. This week I've been talking about the parable of the sower sowing the seed from Mark chapter 4. And we've already covered a lot of this. I encourage you to please get the materials that we've been talking about. But let me go back to Mark chapter 4. And Jesus gave this parable. His disciples didn't understand it and asked for an interpretation. And he told them in Mark 4:13 that if you don't know this parable, you can't understand any of his parables. So this is a key to unlocking all of the ministry that Jesus did through parables. This makes this a very important parable. He said in verse 14 that the sower is sowing the word. He wasn't really teaching on how to be a farmer. He was talking about how to get the Word of God working in your life. And we've already dealt with the first type of person. This parable was about a man who just threw seed everywhere. And it fell on four different types of ground. Only one out of the four produced fruit. And I've already made some comparisons between that the vast majority of people do not have the Word of God work in their life, not because there's anything wrong with the Word. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that it's an incorruptible seed. God's Word is an incorruptible seed. It never fails, but we fail to take care of it. We allow the devil to steal it from us. We allow the cares of this life and other things to choke the Word. So not everybody has the Word work for them, but not because there's anything wrong with the Word. It's because it takes some attention. You know, if you sow a seed in the ground and if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't water it, if you don't fertilize it, if you don't weed it and get rid of the other things, often it doesn't produce because it just gets choked out. It may die of thirst. There is some attention you have to give to a seed in the natural realm, and likewise in the spiritual realm, you need to give a priority and a focus to the Word of God. And most people don't do that, and that's why it doesn't work. But this first type of person that it was talking about here, we compared this with Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. It says that in that case, it's the same parable. It's just recorded in Matthew's gospel. It says that these people didn't understand. And if you don't understand the Word of God, then it says Satan comes immediately and stole away the Word that was sown in their heart. And so you've got to understand the only type of person out of these four different types of people that this is talking about, the only one who Satan had complete access to just steal the Word from them was people who didn't understand. So you've got to speak the Word and make it clear. There's some pseudo-intellectuals who glory in using big, you know, dime words and stuff that nobody can understand, and they think that somehow or another that makes them a cut above everybody else. I really believe that a person who's really intelligent can speak the Word in a way that anybody can understand it. And with the Word, that's exactly what we've got to do. We've got to make it understandable. So the first type of person is a person that their heart was hardened. The seed never got down into the ground. It never penetrated their understanding. It didn't get down in their heart. And so Satan just stole it from them, and it's like they never heard the Word. Then the second type of person is described in Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And it says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when afflictions or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended." You know, before I get in and discuss some of the things that God has spoken to me through these verses, let me just say that I believe that these four different types of ground illustrate the four different conditions of men's hearts. And of course, you know, there's millions, billions of individuals, and I guess you could even try and go beyond just four different things, but I believe that really the whole human race fits into one of these four categories. So these are four different conditions that I think all of us fit into this someplace. And it's also, I don't have a scripture that proves this. I've never heard anybody else say it, but I personally believe that this is not only like just four conditions of people's hearts, but I believe that it's progressive. I don't think anybody starts at the place to where you are good ground and you're producing 30, 60, and 100-fold like this fourth type of ground illustrated. I believe that all of us start to where we have an insensitivity to the Word of God. Because of our preoccupation with the world and stuff, our heart is hardened. We don't understand the things of God. And the Lord tries to get His Word to us, and yet Satan steals it from us. But then you go to the next type, and I believe that these are steps that you go through. And I think that's significant. In my own life, I can definitely tell you, I got born again when I was 8 years old. And I was genuinely saved. I was made fun of in school for being a Christian in the third grade. It was a real experience. And I read the Bible. We had in the Baptist church what we call daily Bible readings. I read my Bible every day of my life from the time I was 8 until I was 18. But I don't know exactly why all of this was, but I just wasn't focused on it. I was a typical kid just having fun, thinking more about going out with my friends and doing things than I was about the Word of God. And so I was like that first type of ground, that the Word was coming to me, but I didn't understand it. Like, here's a for instance, that I was raised in a denomination that didn't believe in healing and miracles being for us today. And so I read Acts chapter 3. I couldn't tell you how many times, but I'm sure I read it hundreds of times. And I read about this man who was lame and was at the gate of the temple. And then Peter came along and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And he just reached down by the hand and grabbed him, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. I read that hundreds of times. And yet, when I got around this man, Jonah, the one that God used to speak into my life, and when I had this experience with the Lord, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I remember reading Acts chapter 3, and for the first time in my life, it dawned on me that this man was physically actually healed. I know some of you are going to think, well, what was wrong with you? Well, in our denomination, they would say, well, you know, God doesn't heal today, but just like this man, we were all emotional cripples. Our life was falling apart. We had, you know, the doctors had given up on us. There wasn't any cure. There wasn't any hope. And then Jesus comes into our life. And they just took this and spiritualized it. And I'd heard that so often that, you know what, it hardened my heart towards the obvious truth of what really happened. And I can truthfully say that I had read this hundreds of times, and it had never entered into my understanding that this man was physically healed. I always took it in a symbolic, spiritual sense. And, you know, I know that there's some of you watching the program right now that that's exactly the way you read the Bible. You've had it interpreted to you. You go to a denomination, and they told you what to believe, and you have never sat down and had the Word really sink down inside of you. You just have kind of taken the digested interpretation that somebody else had, and you've accepted it. And because of this, it's hardened you towards the real truth, and the Word hadn't penetrated. And see, that was exactly my case. And then when I had this experience, boy, I was like this second type, that I received the Word with gladness. I mean, that's really an understatement. When I had this experience with the Lord in 1968, I got fanatical about the things of God. I mean, it's a gross understatement, like it says here, immediately they receive it with gladness. I was fanatical about it. Man, I was so thrilled. I was so excited. But you know what? The Word still wasn't working in my life then, even though I was excited about it, because it goes on to say in the 17th verse, that afflictions and persecutions come against you. And if you allow that to happen, it says that they are offended. And so again, I'm making this point that I believe not only are these four different types or conditions of men's hearts, but I believe that it's the sequence is important. We all start out, for whatever reason, hardened towards the things of God, and it doesn't penetrate our understanding and work. But then we go to a place to where there is an excitement about the Word. But if you don't do what it's advising us to do right here, Satan can still keep the Word from working, even though you're excited about it. And then the third type of ground is a person who let the Word take root on the inside. There was visible growth, but they just allowed the cares of this life and other things to choke it. And then the fourth type of person is a person who saw fruit come to maturity, and that's what we're all shooting for. But I believe that there's a progression here. And so the second thing that happens, if you go beyond just being hardened towards the Word, and if you open up your heart and the Word makes sense to you and you get excited about it and receive it, then you receive the Word with gladness. But in verse 17, it says they have no root in themselves and endure but for a time. Afterward, when afflictions or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. Boy, there is a lot in that verse. You know, I've been living on that verse for 40-something years, and I'm still trying to put it to practice in my life. But, you know, in my life, like I told you, I got born again when I was 8, but from the time I was 8 until I was 18, basically the Word of God didn't transform my life, probably mainly because of religious tradition. It says in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, that traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of no effect. And I was just steeped in religious tradition, and it voided the impact of God's Word. And so that was the first thing that happened. But then, when I had this experience, March 23rd, 1968, man, I got excited about the Word. And, you know, I was just naive. I thought everybody else would be excited that I was excited about the Word. I remember the night after that experience, I got up in front of my Baptist church and told them that God had touched me and that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought everybody would be excited about that. You know, they weren't. Matter of fact, I had the pastor of the church, other people, come up and rebuke me and say, "Who do you think you are? The Apostle Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you putting yourself in their class? You are unworthy. God would never fill you with His Holy Spirit." And I mean, within hours of the time that God changed my life, I immediately began to start getting criticism. And you know, when I was excited about the things of God, I'm not saying that I did it all right. I'm sure I was probably offensive. I didn't have as much tact as I have now. I laugh about that because there's a lot of you that think that I have absolutely no tact now. But boy, I'm really good compared to what I used to be. And you know what? I just hadn't grown. I probably wasn't doing everything right. But I mean, I had everybody and their dog come out and criticize me. And it did. It started to have the effect on me that is described right here. I was excited about the Word. I received it. But through this persecution, affliction and persecution, I got offended. Did you know before the Word of God really impacted my life, before I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord, everybody liked me fine. I wasn't necessarily the class favorite or anything like that, but I didn't have people against me. People didn't criticize me until I fell in love with the Lord. And when I started taking a stand for God and for the Word, that's when everybody came out against me, and I wasn't prepared for it. I had a tremendous amount of persecution come against me. And I tell you what, it began to have an effect on me. And the Word of God, even though it was starting to work, it was being snuffed out. I wasn't bringing fruit in my life because this criticism of what people thought about me was hindering me. You know, the man who really got me kind of jump-started was Joe Nay. And he was in my Baptist church. He got radically saved, caught up into heaven, and he started having miraculous experiences that didn't conform to our Baptist theology. And anyway, he was so happy and so excited that I went over and met him. We became friends. He was present the night that I had this experience and God touched my life. And anyway, Joe Nay, he was further along than me when I came back out of the Army and I was beginning to start getting in ministry, I was still in the Baptist church, and I had a lot of criticism. People were telling me that this doctrine was of the devil, and there's just a lot of opposition. And so I'd go listen to him, and I'd go listen to other people, and I'd get fired up in the Word, and it was working in my life. But then after a week or two of being back among all of my Baptist people who were telling me everything I was saying was of the devil, I would begin to start losing my enthusiasm. And I'd still say the same things, but it wouldn't get the same results. And this happened so often. I was actually going over to Fort Worth and listening to Kenneth Copeland during that time. He held monthly meetings, and I'd go over to his meetings and listen, and I'd get fired up. And for 1 or 2 weeks, I was just on fire, and we'd see miracles happen and people healed and set free and good things. But then I'd be attacked by all of the people who told me that this was all of the devil. And after a week or two, it would just taper off, and I'd go in and I'd be saying the same things, but nobody would be excited about it. Nothing would be happening. And then I'd go back over and listen to Kenneth Copeland or Joe Nay and get fired up, and I'd come back and the same thing would happen. And it happened so often that I knew it was going to happen. I even got to where I was saying, well, for a week or two, I'll be okay. I didn't understand exactly what was going on, but I'd seen it so often, I knew it was going to happen. And anyway, during one of these times, I went and heard Joe Nay minister, and he was holding a meeting in a hotel, and I had just really been criticized, and I'd been out to arguing with people, trying to prove to them that I was not of the devil and what I was saying was true and all this. And Joe called me out of the whole group, and he called me up there, and he gave me a prophecy. And he said, I see you like a runner on a track. And he said, you are running a race around this oval track. And he said, you're out leading the pack. He says, you're doing good, but the people in the grandstands are yelling at you and telling you that you're doing it all wrong. And he says, now I see you getting off of the track and getting up into the grandstands, and you're arguing with the spectators. And he says, even if you win the argument, you're going to lose the race. Forget the spectators. Forget what people are saying about you. Stay on track. And I tell you what, that was a word from God, and that is exactly what this is talking about. When the Word comes to you and you get excited about it, one of the things that is going to happen invariably is that Satan has enough people that are responsive to him that he is going to send someone across your path that's going to criticize you. And I don't care if you do everything perfectly, you'll be criticized. Jesus was criticized, and he said that if he bore persecution, you will, that you aren't above your master. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all of those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The only reason you won't be persecuted is if you're ungodly. If you live a godly life, you will be persecuted. If you and the devil never bump into each other, it's because you're both headed in the same direction. Amen. You turn around and go against the flow, and you are going to be persecuted. You are going to have some opposition. And see, this is what was happening. I was excited, but because of the persecution, I was offended, is what it says. The word offended here doesn't mean that necessarily you renounce what you believe. Like, say, for instance, again, you're coming like I was from a background where they denied the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles, and things like that. And if you come out of that kind of a group and you start speaking that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles is real, then I can guarantee you, you're going to get some criticism. And you don't have to reject it and say, well, no, I don't believe that that's real. No, you just lose your enthusiasm about it. You lose your excitement, your commitment to it, and you get hurt, offended by the criticism. And you know what this says? If you are offended, you will not bear fruit. And I tell you, there are a lot of people. I was there at one time. When God took this parable on the sower sowing the seed and really revealed it to me, I was in this exact situation where I'd been taking a stand for the Word. I'd received it. I was excited. I was speaking it out. But every time I spoke it out, I was criticized. And actually, there was a time that my wife and I, we had a good friend. She was like a spiritual mother to me, but it was in the Baptist church. And she had been a big impact in my life. But when I got turned on to the Lord and got into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles and stuff, she thought I was fanatical. And every time we were around her, she was just pecking at me. and just, you know, just little by little trying to get me out of this fanaticism that I'd got into. And so every time we were around, she would just put in a little jab and criticize. And it was offending us, and we were losing our joy over it. And Jamie and I, this is just a month or so after we got married, 1972, and we were reading, and we found this, and I, like I said, I had seen that I'd go over and listen to these other people and get fired up, but it just wouldn't last, and it'd trail off, and I'd have to go back. The Lord used this exact verse of Scripture on a Saturday night as Jamie and I were praying and reading, and showed me that you don't have root in yourself. You're living off of their revelation, and this persecution is offending you, and that's the reason that you aren't able to sustain it. And when God showed this to me, Jamie and I joined hands and agreed, and we said from now on, Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. I am never going to let a man talk me out of this. I will not get up in the grandstands and argue with the people anymore. I'm going to do what God told me to do and let the chips fall where they may. And did you know the very next day we went to church, and after church this same woman got Jamie by herself, took her into a back room and said, you know, Andrew's just gone too far. He's out there on the deep end. He's just about gone. You're the only one that can stop him. And she says, you need to stop your husband. She tried to get Jamie, turn Jamie against me. And because we had seen this, you know what? Jamie just stood up and said, look, we love you, but that's it. Says, you aren't going to do this. And we walked out of her life. We walked out of that church, and we didn't see him for 10 years. Now, praise God, the Lord's restored the relationship, and now we've been ministering to her. So, you know, I'm not saying maybe we didn't do it with as much tact as we should, but we made a decision that, you know what, we weren't going to get in the grandstands. We weren't going to let what other people said about us steal the word. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's many of you watching this program right now that you've heard the truth, and you're excited about it personally. But your husband, your wife, your parents, your friends at church, your neighbors, your in-laws, your outlaws, you're just afraid to take a stand because you don't want to offend people. And Satan is using that very thing to stop the Word of God in your life. You know, I've just right now laid a foundation for a bunch of things that I want to say, but I'm just about out of time today. You're going to have to tune in tomorrow for me to go into this, but you need to hold the thought and everything that I was teaching today, because I'm just now coming up to a point that could literally change your life. And this is what I'm teaching about a sure foundation. This is how the Word of God is meant to influence your life. This parable about the sower sowing the seed, it tells you how the Word works. It tells you how the kingdom works. If you would go and read this and study it and get this through your understanding and plant this word in your heart, I guarantee you it would keep you from being offended and having the word stolen away from you because of the criticism of other people. And I know that there are many of you that deal with this. The Scripture says that the fear of man brings a snare. Like I said, I'm out of time today. I'm going to have to finish this tomorrow, so please listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled, Got a Need? Plant a Seed, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I mentioned on our program today how that we are reaching out with the word. We have a potential of 2.2 billion people that can watch this program. But of course, you know, the time's not convenient for everybody. And there's certainly not that many people watching. We need saturation where we go on multiple times in one market, multiple times during the day on one station. And we actually could double or at least triple our television bill. But to do that, it takes partners. And I'd like to ask you that if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you believe that this is something that God has raised up and He's sowing His word around the world through this, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then become a partner with us. We have information on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And you know, these programs are great, and the materials that I offer are great, and there are people that are getting the word and their life is being changed. But did you know, it's just amazing what happens when people sit under the Word 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years. You get the equivalent of over 20 years worth of church attendance by coming to a Charis Bible College. And we not only have the one here in Colorado Springs, but we have 15 Bible colleges scattered around the world, and now we have an online Bible school. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and ask about our Charis Bible Colleges.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
The person who persecutes you the most is a person who's under conviction that your lifestyle is convicting them, and they don't want that. They can't handle the guilt and the condemnation, and so rather than using repentance and forgiveness to cope with that sense that I'm failing in an area, the easier thing to do is just to knock you down. If they can't climb up to where you are, then just pull you down to where they are.